Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we come together to eat from your table, God, I just pray right now that you speak through me, Lord God. Leave me back at Lancaster with my feet put up at the couch, Lord God. Let your spirit speak in this moment, Lord God. You've been feeding me this word for the past few weeks. Now, God, release it as you've given it to me, Lord God. Lord God, I just pray for every person who's under the sound of my voice, be it in this room, be it online, Lord God. I pray that they hear what the spirit is saying to the church today. And we give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's give God praise.
Hallelujah.
We just said he's our all in all.
Hallelujah.
That he's everything that we need. Amen. Amen. Give an honor to God, to our presider, Bishop Robert Green, looking real healthy, looking real healed. Amen. 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 To Pastor Jean Green, to my lovely wife, Pastor Rachel, Pastor Trey, as well as our guest today, Pastor and Lady Dixon. It's good to see you, Auntie and Uncle. And to everyone in the household of faith, be it online or in person, I'm going to try to give you a big old word in a little bit of time, because I promise to keep this morning an hour, because we're coming back at 3. And you're going, okay, why are we doing 2 services? Because God gave me the message for 3 o'clock first, and I began to pray. As I was praying, there's a possibility that I might have to jump in and preach at some point. And God said, before you can shout them at 3, you have to teach and prepare them for the 11:30. Because what typically happens is that people release this phenomenal word on New Year's Eve. And it's really cool that New Year's Eve is a Sunday. Hallelujah. But people will shout. This is everybody shout, everybody run around the church and get this big old fantastic word. But people don't understand that the prophetic, most of the time, was designed to point you into the direction that God's called you to go. That's why I'm going to say it because we got prophets, apostles, and evangelists, and teachers, and pastors in this room, and even watching us online right now, that we have neutered the prophetic anointing because we've turned it into the Psychic Friends Network. So we want to hear about cars, we want to hear about houses, but we don't want to hear about how we have a responsibility as the believer, not understanding if you understand the responsibility, that's where your blessing is going to come. So the Lord took me to a place I typically don't go. I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah 6. Jeremiah 6. Tap your neighbor and say, buckle your seatbelt. It's about to go down. It's about to go all the way down. All the way down. Hallelujah. Once you have it as is custom in this house, we ask for you to stand if you are able. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to start at verse 9. Let me give you some context of where we are. So the book of Jeremiah is written right before exile hit the land of Judah. If you know your biblical history, Israel used to be one country. Then all of a sudden they split off. Israel went their one way, Judah went another. At this point, Israel was already in exile. And if you look at the biblical cycle of Israel's relationship with God, they would start out in right standing with God, and people would get amnesia about what God said and start doing their own thing, and they end up getting occupied and exiled by somebody else, and the cycle continues. That's why if you look at the Christmas story that we just came out of, yes? Jeremiah 6, starting at the 6th verse, and we're just going to run it down to verse 21. We're running it down today. If you look at the Bible story, you have to remember that the people of Israel and Judah were under Roman occupation. So clearly in that 400-year gap between the end of the Old Testament and beginning of the New, they had acted up once again.
Amen.
So Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. Because he has the most woe unto you prophecies in the Bible. He has this one, he has the sequel called Lamentations, where he literally just went in because people were tripping.
Amen.
So we're going to go ahead and start from the 6th verse. I'm going to run this thing down to the 21st. I'm going to read this from the Christian Standard. Your interpretation might be a little bit different. I know our online friends, the Bible you will see on your screen will be the King James. Okay, let's go ahead and read. For this is what the Lord of armies says, cut down the trees, rage a siege ramp against Jerusalem. This city must be punished. There is nothing but oppression within her. As a well gushes out its waters, so she pours out her evil. Violence and destruction resound in her. Sickness and wounds keep coming to my attention. Be warned, Jerusalem, or I will turn away from you, and I will make you a desolation, a land without inhabitants. This is what the Lord of armies says. Glean the remnant of Israel as thoroughly as a vine. Pass your hand once more like a grape gatherer over the branches. Who can I speak to and give such a warning that they will listen? Look, their ear is uncircumcised, so they cannot pay attention. See, the word of the Lord has become contemptible to them. This sounds like 2023, doesn't it? They find no pleasure in it. But I am full of the Lord's wrath. I am tired of holding it back. Pour it out on the children in the streets, on the gathering of young men as well. Both husband and wife will be captured, the old with the very old. Their houses will be turned over to others, their fields and wives as well. For I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land. This is the Lord's declaration. From the least to the greatest of them, everyone is making profit dishonestly. From prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have treated my people's brokenness superficially, claiming peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they acted so detestably? They weren't at all ashamed. They no longer feel humiliation. Therefore, they will fall among the fallen. When I punish them, they will collapse, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Stand by the roadways and look. Ask about the ancient paths. Somebody say ancient paths. Which is the way to what is good? Then take it and find rest for yourselves. But they protested, we won't. I appointed watchmen over you and said, listen for the sound of the ram's horn. But they protested, we won't listen. Therefore, listen, you nations and you witnesses. Learn what is the charge against them. Listen, earth, I'm about to bring disaster on these people, the fruit of their own plotting, for they have paid no attention to my words. They have rejected my instruction. What use to me is frankincense from Sheba or sweet cane from a distant land? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable. Your sacrifices do not please me. Therefore, this is what the Lord says, I'm going to place stumbling blocks before these people. Fathers and sons together will stumble over them. Friends and neighbors will also perish. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I got a little bit of time to give you a whole lot of word. So doesn't this scripture sound very familiar to what we're living in right now? If you're of the note-taking variety, the title of today's message is Follow the Ancient Paths. Follow the Ancient Paths. Now you said, now y'all like, Bishop Cash, you typically don't preach like this unless it's really, really major. And he's like, also, if my true vision people know, I don't throw on robes superficially. Right. You know, I came out of church where we used to wear robes all the time, and all of a sudden we stopped. And then when we started on this journey and pastoring, God said, pull them robes back out again. Amen. Because people need to remember that you are a servant of the Most High God first. Amen. So let's look at, let's pick this apart real quick. Let's pick this apart. This sounds exactly like the days that we're living in right now, that we are blown to and fro by every single wind of doctrine, that we always follow what the crowd says and not what God says. Many of our churches have become group therapy instead of a place of healing and deliverance, that we have become so focused on money, we've become so focused on fame, how many numbers that we have, that we forget the kingdom mandate that is on our lives. And as I was praying, and God was gleaning, and I had conversations with my old youth pastor, Dr. Joe Dewhurst. He's a doctor now, praise God. Earned doctorate, amen. Dr. Joe Dewhurst, praise God for his family. He just had another baby. And it was me and my God brother, Elder Cordell Glass, and we were talking at Joe's house. And we were talking about how people are so focused on what they want that they forget about the doctrine of God. So God began to stir in my spirit. I was breaking this down to my wife because she's my sounding board. And I said, we need to look at this in three layers. The first layer is doctrine. Doctrine is the foundational teachings of the faith. These are the things that are designed to ground you in your walk with God. So doctrine at its core is the word. Y'all know typically I preach from this tablet. I got it here because I've been working between logos and all this other stuff. But this right here, this book right here, is the foundation. It is the word of God. If we live by the word and follow what the word calls us to do, it won't steer you wrong. Yes, I know this book is thousands of years old. Yes, I know multiple people wrote in and wrote experiences. Yes, it might seem like they say one thing in one book and the other thing they flip it around. And I heard somebody on Instagram say that this book is a narrative of how the faith grew from generation to generation. But the thread is still the same. Doctrine says if we live for God, if we say that we are a believer, then we are to walk in love. We are to walk in humility. We are supposed to walk in repentance. What does that mean? If you mess up, if you miss the mark, you need to not just apologize to God, but make it right with the people in front of you. He has called us to heal the sick. He has called us to raise the dead, to cast out devils. But he's also called us to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, and take care of widows and orphans. So if we look at the core of what doctrine says, half the stuff that we do in the Christian church should not happen. Amen. So from doctrine, which grounds us, comes tradition or liturgy. Tradition or liturgy is how doctrine is presented and acted out. Mm-hmm. Come on, teach. Traditions are such as communion, right. Water baptism, even the act of marriage, even, you know how we pray, how we minister to people on the corporate level, how we gather each other, because these traditions have significance, because they're supposed to point you back to who? God. So we are rooted in his word. We are rooted in his word. And because we are rooted in his word, our actions are influenced by his word. But then let's talk about the thing called preference. Preference is, in short, what you want to do. Preference says, don't be playing no drums in my church. When the Bible says, praise him with the timbrel and the dance, and the whole chapter of the Bible says, this is what you need to do. Well, I don't think that we don't need to be feeding folk. Jesus told us to. I can't, but if you don't vote like me, if you really pay attention to the narrative of Jesus Christ, he was apolitical. Actually, that's part of the reason why the Pharisees and the Sadducees gave him so much grief, is because they made them actually have to look at themselves. We're supposed, as Christians, as believers, we are supposed to address what the culture is doing to bring people to the knowledge of Christ.
They don't want
it, because we are looking, because we as the body of Christ in the 21st century of America are looking to dominate rather than walk in the authority that God has given us. If you walk in the authority that God has given you, if you change the hearts of the people, the heart of the leadership must change as well. But because we have forsaken the core practices of the faith, because we have become so mired in the 21st century experience to the point where our preference has become our idol.
Watch out. Come on, sir.
I'm going to say it. Listen, they can get mad at me if you want to. admin@truevisionlancaster.org. I'll be happy to meet with you. But when you put the red, white, and blue before the blood of Jesus Christ, that's an idol.
Come on, sir. Come on.
When you put an elephant or a donkey before what God has called you to do as a believer, that's an idol. When you are so focused on how many seats can I fill? Who gonna pay my salary? That's an idol. Come on, come on. It's an idol. Come on, yes, and we have gotten off the path. What's the Bible say? Wide is the way to destruction, but narrow is the way to Christ. We have missed it, which is why the world, this country, this city, the body of Christ in America is the way that it is right now, because we have missed the mark. Amen. Amen. We have sinned. Because if you look at the base definition and the etymology of the word sin, it means to miss the mark. So we have refused, I got a few more minutes. We have refused to preach or teach sound doctrine. Not so much because we don't know it, it's because what was taught to us was wrong. Because you teach, this is what I've learned as an educator, you teach how you were taught until you learn a different way. So if you look at American history, things were kind of all right, and then the 80s hit, and then we had this thing called the Moral Majority pop up, and then as you look gradually, you see the heart of the Christian church step back from the things of God because they got some power. You already have power through Jesus Christ. When you step in the room, you have his authority. If he calls you in the room, he ain't call you in the room, you're on your own. We've missed the mark. We're wandering in the woods. We have gotten off of the path. And we're wandering in the woods trying to get home. But we don't know where home is because we're not even paying attention to the map. Right, yes, sir. Whoo. Whoo, I did not expect to go this hard this morning, but here we are. It is what it is. If it's tight, it's right. This is a reality we have to face. And the thing is, I can't shout you at 3:00 without first telling you that this is where we are now. Amen, amen. Amen. I can't feel, the Lord said. Right. And you walk in just as crooked and shallow as you were when you came in. We can no longer do that. In 2024, yes, as much as there's going to be a season of blessing, we're seeing it now. It's also a season of exposure. People getting revealed left and right. And I'm telling you, as someone who's had to go through that experience, you don't want it. No, sir. You do not want to be laid bare before everybody that you know. You don't be laid bare to the whole household of faith. Amen. Because you took your preference over what God said. We can no longer cherry pick what we are for and what we are against. Yes, sir. We can no longer use the Bible as a scapegoat to not fulfill the gospel. That is oxymoronic. Yes, you cannot use this as a shield to block you from doing the very thing that the word calls you to do, is to go out and make disciples, teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and baptize. I don't care. It could be Jesus, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter. They all the same anyway. Just put them in the water.
Come on, sir.
Because we want a Joel 2 season, but we don't want to repent to get there. Amen. We don't want to go back to prayer and fasting. And not fasting because pastor and bishop told you to fast, but fasting because you want to have a relationship with God. There is something that you yourself need. Nobody needs to know you fasted. Only you need to know that you're fasting. Amen. What does Jesus say about prayer? Pray in the what? Secret place. You don't need to be walking on earth going, I don't know. Anybody need to know that? I told some of my students, I'm like, well, y'all don't be knowing this while you're talking with me. I'm praying in my spirit.
Right.
So I'm like, God, give me the words to say to minister to this young man or this young woman. God, what are you saying to me in this moment? Why are you having me teach this specific topic in this class? Because God be like, I'm going to need you to teach about this. Not knowing it's exactly what's going on campus. Everybody looking at me like, how did you know? And somebody looked at him and said, you know he's a pastor, right? Oh, he for real, for real. We have to in this season of 2024, and I sincerely believe that God has purposed where this conglomeration for a reason. Because I'm going to be very honest with you. Point blank, period, honest with you. This is not something I expected to happen. Quite frankly, it wasn't something I wanted to happen. But God has a way of moving out all the other options to put you where you need to be. Somebody gave me word, oh, the church gonna move to Columbus. I looked at them and said, where? Can't go home. Home don't exist no more. Right. We have to begin to realize that the Lord is soon to come. Everything that we're seeing has been indicated as a sign of his return. And I was listening to a message I preached a couple years ago called 1158, talking about the wise and foolish brides. That everybody, they were in the line, they full beat, full hair, all that stuff. But they didn't have oil. They didn't have enough anointing. They didn't have enough holiness to get into the room. So they had to go back to a quick revival, get filled up, and come back. By the time they came back, what? The door was closed. We need to get back to the foundations of the faith. And the part of getting back to the foundations of the faith, I am almost done because I'm going to be a man of my word. That the reason why we need to stay in the foundations of the faith is because there is a generation. Here's, let me give you something. Gen Z and Gen Alpha. It's not that they don't want God. They want God, but they want an authentic experience. But we've been so busy being actors and actresses and performers that we have forgotten what authenticity looks like. How do we get back to authenticity? Prayer, fasting, worship, fellowship, community, working to meet the needs of one another, building up one another. When a brother falls, pick them up, remembering yourself. Confess your sins one to another. Not confess and then browbeat you about it. Confess it and pray for you. Keep you accountable. Walk with you and talk with you. Because people need healing. And we're about to step into a revival that we in our present state cannot handle.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. We in our present thinking cannot handle it. Amen. Because rather than disliking something, we've learned to truly hate it.
Right.
Because if you look at the Bible, how hate is put in the Bible is not how we think hate is, because words change definitions over time. Hate in the context of the Bible is to dislike, but I dislike it enough to help walk with you to go to the ways of God.
Amen, amen.
So we got to follow the ancient paths. We got to get back to this. And not what you feel like and what you don't feel like. You need to get back to this. We not just, I read it because this is what the word said. These are the words. That, no, you better listen. You better get the Logos app like I got and start hunting and pecking. Because the stumbling block is something that God purposely puts in front of you to trip you up.
Amen.
To get your attention.
Amen.
It's not a little, is you done hit the ground, you done skinned your knee. I have sent a stumbling block, and we've already seen one of them. But yet, instead of going, come, let us return to the Lord. For he has torn us to pieces. He has injured us, what? And he shall bind up our wounds.
Amen.
So we must, as believers, make a commitment. We have to make a commitment to get back to the core of things. Preachers and teachers who are in this room, who are watching me, who are probably going to be listening to this later. We need to stop playing and stop the charades and teach people what the word of God, not just throw words at them, but how to find it for themselves. Amen. We need to be open to be accountable to each other and to our congregations. Amen. There have been times I hit on my notes with somebody and say, go ahead, look at it. I'll tell people, check me, boo. Please do. Because we are coming back to a point of history called the uninformed laity. Where the pastor and the preachers have all the knowledge, but because the people are so illiterate in the word, they just take what is said at face value. Right, right, right. Your pastor might be lying to you.
Come on now. Say it.
My vow for 2024 is I'm going to teach people how to pick this thing apart like a good chicken wing. We're going to talk about the Hebrew. We're going to talk about the Greek. We're going to talk about why do we do this? Why do we do that? I started it this year. We're going to continue it into next year. This is actually the last message of that series. Quit fleecing the folk. Quit disqualifying people because how you feel. Get to this. Get to this. Hypocrisy is over. Get to this. Lack of accountability is over. Get to this. Doing what you want to do is over. Get back to the word.
Amen.
Get back to what God has called us to do.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm going to say this. Then we're going to go ahead and close our service. And this is a warning to the body of Christ. We are walking into yet another political cycle and another political season. Here's what I'm going to tell you. If you don't align yourself with the heart of God and not the heart of yourself or whatever you follow, we are going to see the Christian church decimated.
Yep. Yep.
What do you mean by that? Decimated literally means to kill the 10th man, every 10th man.
Right.
The Romans used it as a way to cause people to submit to them. Decimation means the whole church is not going to get wiped out, but you're about to see people fall from their high perches and watch people scatter. But because they are not versed in the word, they have nowhere to go. They've been so hurt in the church, they will not walk into it. It is time for true repentance. It's time for people to cry loud and spare not. That doesn't mean be ugly and messy. Because Jesus didn't call out their sin. He called out their healing.
Amen,
amen. Amen, Walls. Jesus did not talk about their sin. He talked about, go and sin no more.
Amen.
He said to the pool of Bethesda man, y'all heard it when I preached it here. Go and sin no more or else worse will happen to you. That's the only time he said that in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
We got to follow the paths. Got to follow the paths, amen? Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for leading and guiding us in the word of truth in this moment. Lord God, I pray. First of all, God, I stand as proxy for those whose heart is like mine and repent for those hypocritical moments. Repent for not applying your word. Repent for not doing what you've called for me to do, Lord God. We stand in repentance and humility saying, God, we're not just sorry. We apologize. We humble ourselves. We humiliate ourselves. Say, God, teach us how to do this the right way. Lord God, I pray for the heart of every pastor as they're preparing, or either they preach, are preaching, or preparing to preach right now, that you begin to speak, prick their hearts, deal with their spirit. And if they've been teaching false doctrine, God, get their attention now before it's too late. We come against everything that has tried to stifle not just the move of the Holy Spirit, but the move of the heart of God. Lord God, I decree and declare for those who follow what you have told us today, blessing and favor and growth in the name, blessing, favor, and growth in the name of Jesus. As churches figure out what their future is going to look like, God, I speak blessing, favor, and growth for those who are willing to go back to the ancient paths and hear what the Spirit is saying to the church now. Jesus is saying, I'm coming soon. I'm about to walk through the door. Make sure you're together. This is the opportunity, God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I come against the spirit of murder that's going to try to come in this next cycle in the name of Jesus. I come against every person who has been tormented by this spirit because of their political affiliations. I shut it down in the name of Jesus. I cast it out to high and dry places. We shall not have blood of the innocent on our hands in America. We shall not. And it's not just talking about abortion, but also talking about people literally going and making difficult decisions, doing mass shootings because they didn't get their way. The devil is a liar in the name of Jesus. Stop it now. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you. I thank you for releasing this word and speaking to me from your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's give God praise for the word. Look, it was tight, but it was right.